Future Radio 107.8.
Welcome to Ross Clavin from the Norfolk Broads. Hello.
Hello, thank you for having me.
No, you're very welcome. Now, we've invited you on because our station got to hear about a new, is it just called a Norfolk Broads app? Is that the right way to describe it?
Absolutely, it's the app for the Norfolk Broads.
And you are the person who worked with the developers to get everything on there and get what you wanted up there. So tell us about the history. How did it come about?
With the rise of with apps and with smartphones, all websites, all web companies are sort of on the verge of releasing apps because it's the new way people are interacting with information. It's just a very long, very expensive process. So really, we saw a big increase in visitors using their smartphones to visit the website, visit norfolkbroads.com. And so we thought, let's give them a better experience. Let's give them a specific app which gives them everything they need to know about the Norfolk Broads.
Because you're right, we kind of live and die by them these days, don't we?
We do.
And we were a bit lost if we go, oh, but my phone doesn't have anything about that to tell me. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, if Google doesn't know, then you're stuck, aren't
yes.
you?
Yes. Excellent. So what did you decide you wanted to put in it? How did you decide what to put in and what to leave out? And because there's so much that you could put in, isn't there?
Absolutely. Well, it was really a, you know, where do we start? Well, we wanted to make an app that allowed people to plan their holidays, plan their visits, whether they were from Leeds or Manchester or from Norwich. So we first of all gave them, you know, the places to stay, the major things to do, places to eat, all those things that you'd expect to find at the touch of a button. But we wanted to go one step further. We wanted to give people green spaces where they could go for a picnic, where they could go to bike, where they could go to walk. And with the app, we were able to even give people filters such as smoking friendly, disabled friendly, pet friendly. So if you're bringing your dog, you know, you can see the pubs, you can see the attractions that let you take your dog with you. Of course, all the boating stuff's in there. So we have moorings, we have car parking, the list kind of goes on, and we're constantly improving and adding content.
I really like this idea, I have to say, because quite often on weekends, if we have a weekend where surprisingly the weather's nice, I say, all right, boys, my two sons, we need to go out somewhere and get some fresh air. And then we all go, where should we go? And we invariably end up in the same places. But that's because I don't know where else to go.
Yeah.
But now I've got your app, which I downloaded last night. It's going to tell me. And it's got walking routes, hasn't it? It's got biking routes.
It has.
And, you know, nice pubs. Weather for pubs.
It's got pubs, of course.
Getting the most important things out there. But also bed and breakfasts. So if you wanted to make a weekend of it.
Absolutely. It's got almost every tourism related feature attraction that you can think of. Like I said, it's all about planning. It's about getting ideas. Because like you said, especially if you're local, you don't really think about these things. I think if you're going on holiday, you kind of plan more, kind of think ahead, and you think, oh, I need that and I need that. But like you, if I sit at home and I think, right, it's sunny, should I go for a walk, or why don't I go to visit an attraction, like a gardens or, you know, anything like that. And the app lets you do that.
It will also work if you hire a boat. I've done this a couple of times. You know, you hire a boat for 3-4 days on the Broads and you want to find moorings or pubs or, I don't know, a place to get off the boat and go for a walk or whatever.
That's it. I mean, what exists now is you have lots of printed maps and they all have a pub icon and they have a mooring icon. But the thing is, they're not detailed enough to actually say, okay, this is that mooring and it's this long and you can fit this number of boats. So, okay, if it's a small mooring, you need to get there early so you can get a space. Or if that pub's on the river and it has mooring spaces, you know, you can actually turn up, park your boat, and then go and enjoy a pint in the pub. And the app lets you see all those details.
You know, that's so useful because we were very poor at planning. And so we invariably ended up at 6 o'clock in the evening, chugging around in our boat, thinking we don't have a clue where we're going to moor up.
And it takes a really long time when you can only travel at, you know, 3 to 5 miles an hour.
Yes.
It takes a long time to get, you know, from Wroxham just to Horning. So you really have to know. And, you know, people coming from far away don't know.
I like the idea that you can pack up your bikes in the boat. You can find a mooring near a bike route, go and do a bike route, and then also
have
find
a pub lunch on the way.
That's it. I mean, that's awesome, isn't it? And you can check the webcam as well to see how busy it is on the Broads.
Yeah, we've got live webcams in the app. There's one in Wroxham, there's one at Alton Broad. There's one actually mounted to the front of a riverboat. Broads Tours have this riverboat, and the camera's mounted on the bow. So as it goes down the river on its excursions, you can actually watch live.
It is actually pretty useful. Thinking back to my time on a boat, I've only done this twice, but it was quite a large boat and we weren't very confident with it. And so we tried to avoid places that were really busy because we just thought we'd churn into them if we didn't do that. So it's actually that kind of forward planning information that would have been very useful and will be if I ever do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really what we hope. We hope people are going to use it. And because it's location-based, everything's location-based these days, you can see where you are and you can see what's close to you and how to get there. And, you know, in the future, we're going to have, we're going to partner up with a local fishing company.
Mm-hmm.
So we're even going to have the best fishing spots, like the local's guide to the best fishing mm-hmm. spots. And you'll see if you've actually got to that point on your boat.
So you've mentioned iOS apps, yeah. like Apple products, but is it available on Android-related devices?
At this point in time, it's not. Our data from visitors to the website showed overwhelmingly that they had iOS devices. It's about 80% use iOS devices. So the plan is, in the future, we will release an Android version and a Windows Phone version.
Because I know it's expensive, obviously, to create the app in the first place, but would it cost the same amount of money to do it again for the Android-related devices?
It would, in that you... It's a little difficult to say. It wouldn't cost the same, but it would certainly cost a serious amount of money, just because of the time required and the languages are different. The languages the different phones use are different. So it's not impossible, and it will get done. It just not this year.
And I'm being really nosy, and if you don't want to tell us this, this is fine.
Mm.
But roughly, how much does it cost to develop an app like this?
Well, apps are expensive, and they do take a lot of time to create. This app has over 400 hours of pure development time in it. 400 hours at £57 an hour is a lot of money.
It's a few quid.
So yeah, you're talking, this app so far has cost us £20,000 to £25,000. So it's a big investment, but we're a great little team, and we're even taking on an apprentice starting next week. So he's gonna be learning all about apps as well.
Excellent. So you're quite a small team. So when you were talking about the need for an app, did you say, you know what, I'd love to do that? Did you put your hand up and volunteer, or did they kind of shove you forward? I go, Ross, you'll be good at that.
Yeah, I kind of took on the role as opposed to anyone else. I do kind of get stuck with these larger, more complicated product projects, but I think it turned around. We've got our big official launch coming up next week. So, I mean, hopefully it's popular, and our reviews so far have been really positive. Mm. So things are looking great for the 21st century of the Norfolk Broads.
Excellent. Well, they are a fantastic place to visit, aren't they? I suppose one thing that occurs to me, you're talking about, you know, people in Manchester or Leeds. Do you think we are at the point now where if, say, someone based in Manchester were going for a holiday in the Norfolk Broads, they'd say, oh, I'll see if there's an app for that?
I think we're close.
Mm.
I wouldn't have said right now that's what happens, but certainly people visit the website. They go online straight away. It's what I do, and it's probably what you guys do too.
Mm.
And of course, we have prompts on the website to go and get the app. But I think in a year or so, I think it's really going to transform, and we're going to move away from websites into tailored apps. I certainly use 4 or 5 almost every day.
Yeah,
and I'm sure a lot of people are getting that way.
You're going to be ahead of the game.
Well, we have to we have to stay a little bit ahead of the game. It's hard, though. I mean, it's an ever changing technology. I mean, there's a new phone version every year, minimum.
Yeah.
And Apple are pretty good in that they're really helpful to developers. But yeah, you have to keep up. You have to keep going and progressing, especially as there's new technologies and there's so much integration with other apps you can do. It's really exciting.
So does the app work in offline mode? Say you were unable to connect to a 3G network, would you still be able to use the app in like offline mode just to sort of have a look on the map?
Yes, you would. Because we know the Norfolk Broads well, we know that 3G coverage is an issue. So what we did is we made the app keep map data. So the first time you open it up, once you downloaded it from iTunes, every map view that you look at, where you move the map around and investigate and explore, it saves that data.
It's very clever.
So when you run out of signal or you don't have a Wi-Fi or a 3G network, everything's saved, and all those views are retained. So the great thing is, and while we were testing the product, we went and hired a boat from Wroxham, and we had iPads and iPhones, and there were four of us. We took the dog, and we went down the river, and we went to those black spots.
Mm.
We went to those places that had no signal. And the great thing is that these devices are so amazing. Their chips can still give you a location, and because the app stored the data, everything ties up as if you had a signal. And of course, when you do get a signal again, everything's then refreshed, so you get more knowledge.
See, that was my main concern, was obviously it's a wonderful app when we've been looking at it and using it in the studio, but sure. I was like, what happens if you're out in the Broads and then you've got no internet signal? Yeah. But that completely solves that problem.
Yeah, as long as people use it that first time when they have a signal or a Wi-Fi connection, they'll have a great experience. Things like the web cameras won't work when there's no 3G coverage. Those big data hogs, as we call them.
Do you think eventually that 3G will be everywhere?
Yes, absolutely. Especially with, you know, 4G coming up, the range of the reach expands. So even those darkest spots on the Broads or elsewhere.
The Norfolk Broads. The Norfolk Broads.
Because it does seem we're a little bit behind almost with that. Like when I went to New Zealand, I was just amazed that I just had internet signal pretty much everywhere we went, and I just couldn't believe it. I was like, I can't even get it in Kringleford. Like, yeah. why can I get it up a mountain in New Zealand? I was just baffled.
I think that happens in Britain a little bit, and it certainly happens in Norfolk. But we're catching up. We're getting there, and it'll get better.
It's very frustrating, isn't it? Because the amount of times you've looked something up on a map, and then you're trying to get to that place that you've looked up, and then you go back on the map, and it won't show you the map any longer.
Absolutely.
And you go, oh, because I don't have a paper map anymore, so I don't know what to do.
Yeah, and I'm the same. And we found that when we were testing other apps, not related to ours, but other map-based apps like TripAdvisor. That was a thing. If you have no connection, nothing worked. And you just sat there frustrated because you've bought this app or you downloaded this app and you can't get the information that's stored in there. So we made sure that wasn't the case with our app because of where we are in the world.
Absolutely. Well, it's a very smart thing, isn't it? And what's, do you have already ideas about how you want to further develop it? What else you want to put on there?
Sure. Well, obviously we want to add more features, but we want to keep it easy to use. We want to make sure that regardless of your age or experience, you can use the app. So yes, we'll make it more feature rich. Like I said, fishing spots, more green spaces, more information, really. We also want to integrate with other systems like TripAdvisor to get reviews of all those places. So there are a few things in the pipeline that I can't tell you too much about right now, but we will certainly this is certainly where we see the future of this industry, so we'll be spending a lot of time and effort in making things better.
I genuinely really liked it. I love the fact that there is an app, because I've kind of very recently personally just got kind of, I've had an iPhone for a couple of years, but I've only recently started realizing the power of apps, if you like, and the amount of information you can get on there and what you can do with them. So when I got this one last night, I was like, oh, very excited. I'm easily pleased, but it was very exciting to see it. So I think it's definitely the right way to go, if my opinion is worth anything at all.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, Ross, thank you very much for coming in to talk to us. I'm sure it's going to be a great success, and we should continue to look out for it to see how it develops in the future.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much.
Future Radio 107.8.